Who remembers playing Kaplunk as a child? Loads of people. Well, we've made a big, big Kaplunk. Because what we're thinking about now, and this is really important, because what we believe is that God is going to set some people free today. That's what we believe. We believe that God is going to set people free through Kaplunk. Because what we have been thinking about is the things that stop this flow and us experiencing, encountering this lavish love of God. Okay? And Linda's been doing a bit of work with the children. We've been asking, what are some of the things that actually cause us kind of to stop experiencing, encountering this lavish love of God? And we've got a few that we're going to think about. Should we put that the thing on the screen? The first one is fear. The first one is fear. I think this is massive. And let me just say, it's massive, not just for the little ones. It's massive for many. Is that fair to say? Are you with me on that? That whoever we are, whatever age we are, we can experience fear. Fear makes us feel awful sometimes. It gets us right down here, doesn't it? And it can distract us, and it can stop us encountering and experiencing that flow of God's love.
I'm scared of the dark.
There. See? Beth's given us an example. Okay? Something that causes fear within us. Thank you, Beth. That's really good. Okay.
I like monsters.
Yeah, and Toby doesn't like monsters. Okay. What does the Bible say? Peace I leave with you. You hear that, guys? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This is Jesus' words. I give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And Isaiah, For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, do not be afraid. I'm here to help you. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Yeah? So fear. Okay, what's another one?
Said that we're not good enough. Some of them said being bullied. Some said, Mum, not coming back. Not knowing if I'm getting my relationship with God right. And dying. So that's what the children, some of the feedback that the children are feeling. I'm sure we can relate to some of them. Okay.
One of the other things that we were thinking about in Powerhouse is some of the children, and us all feeling a sense of hopelessness at times. That moment where actually we feel that there is no hope. Feeling like it's impossible. It's never going to change. It's always going to be like this. And sometimes when we feel that way, it can stop us. It can get in the way and distract us from experiencing, encountering that lavish love of God. Again, we've got some passages from the Bible, some promises. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. What a wonderful promise. Let's move on.
Being bossed around, being bored, when your hopes and dreams just don't happen, not succeeding when I try so hard, and when there isn't enough money.
We've got another one here, not feeling good enough. Does anyone ever feel that way? Not feeling good enough. Let me tell you that God thinks you are great. He's got good plans for you and wants you to know that whatever anyone says to you, nothing changes that. Okay? Nothing changes that. Whatever someone says to you, almost whatever you think about yourself, nothing changes what God thinks about you. He knows your name and he thinks you are great. But sometimes, you know what? We forget that, don't we? Or is it just me?
So not good enough is I'm never in the in group. Nobody wants me on their team when I don't get the class certificate. I'm too poorly to be like everyone else. When people get annoyed with me, I'm no good at anything, really.
We've got a lovely passage from Jeremiah about God knowing the plans he has for us. Plans for good, to give us hope for a future. But isn't this a wonderful passage from Psalm 139? You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. You saw me before I was born. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. We cannot afford to have a thought in our head about ourselves that God doesn't have in his. Okay, does that make sense to everyone? We cannot have afford to have a thought in our own heads about us that God does not have in his. We have to see us the way he sees us. Okay, finally, forgiveness. There's nothing that God cannot or will not forgive. The problem is, sometimes we don't forgive ourselves, and sometimes we don't forgive others. Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves, and sometimes we don't forget others. And both of those things can leave us feeling a bit rotten inside.
Okay, so the forgiveness, it's not my fault that my parents got divorced. They were always horrible to me in the playground. Why should I forgive? He's always taking away my friends. It just isn't fair, and God isn't in control.
Finally, shame. Shame is when we hide stuff. Shame is when we hide stuff, that we're not free to be who we really are. Something may have happened, something we have done, something that we have thought. And what shame does is it makes us hide away. And it doesn't allow us to be the people that God's created us to be. Okay? So what we want to do is say that actually there's no part or place for shame in God. We don't need to hide away. He wants us to be the people that he's created us to be and is creating us to be.
The shame was when I lose, I never seem happy like everyone else. When I don't get many likes on Snapchat. When my clothes and my hobbies are different to others. And when I let my parents down.
Okay, and this lovely passage there, just that last bit. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Okay, and then we've got a few question marks. You know, because there will be things that get in the way that you may feel, we may not have listed them, but actually it's just something that you feel in your life that gets in the way of God's, of encountering God's lavish love poured out. Now, we're going to enter into a time where we're going to take communion together and we're going to worship together. And what we're going to do is use our big game of kaplunk to show us what happens when we start getting free from some of these things. So when I feel hopeless and I kind of overcome that sense of hopelessness, it starts to open up a greater channel for God's love, his lavish, extravagant love to flow in my life, because it gets in the way. Then there's fear. When I start overcoming the fear in my life, because fear just gets in the way. It robs us of the peace that we have inside, doesn't it? What about shame? When I say, no, I'm not going to hide away. I'm going to be the person God has created me to be. When I say loud and clear to myself and to others that, yes, I am good enough. When I start believing that I'm not, what have I missed? Forgiveness. When I accept God's forgiveness of me. And when I start to forgive others, because when we forgive others, it unlocks something and frees something in us, doesn't it? It makes us feel better. That's so important, because we can live with the pain of unforgiveness and it can rip us apart inside. I so believe as we start to pull these out today, God by his Spirit is going to start breaking these things off us as a church and individuals here today. Okay? He's going to start setting us free. So I want you to start thinking about maybe something. Is there something that as we've talked today, you're feeling that, oh, yeah, there's something here that's getting in the way, that's hindering and stopping me experiencing that lavish love of God? It's still there. He's still pouring it out. But, you know, we're just sort of, it's just disturbed, isn't it? Our experience of it is impacted because we feel we're not thinking about ourselves as he does. We're saying, I'm worthless, I'm useless. When actually that's just not true. So we say that's not true. So we're going to take communion because ultimately that is the most amazing expression of God's love for us. And then we're going to worship together. And as we take communion and as we worship, I'm going to invite you to come if you'd like to. And maybe one of these sticks you're feeling, it's for you. And just as a sign that you want to be free from this and you want to encounter and experience that lavish love of God, come and pull a stick out. If you're not brave enough to come down or you don't feel that you want to come down, then actually we've got some tables at the back and some little sticks. And everyone might want to do this. You might want to just write on that little stick and take it away as a reminder of today. And the fact that today is the day that, you know, God has put his finger on something in your life that's in getting in the way of you encountering and experiencing that lavish love of God. Does that make sense to everybody? Are we up for this? So we're going to take communion. The children are going to help me take communion. Is that okay, guys? I'm going to need some help. You know what communion does? It reminds us and it shows us about this lavish love of God. Yeah? Because there is no greater expression of love than someone laying down their lives. God gave of his very best. He gave his one and only son. Why? Because you are worth it. It said, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Who or what is that joy set before him? You. You are the joy set before him. You are the reason why he endured the cross, so he could pour out his lavish love upon you. And I want to encourage you all to embrace that and experience and know it today as you eat and as you drink. You know, this bread here reminds us that Jesus came in bodily form. He came, God with us. He lived and he died. His body was broken. Now, we've got two loaves today. And I want to encourage you to take a chunk, you know, not a tiny speck, because our God lavishes his love upon us. So we've got plenty, I hope. I'm going to start praying, if not. But take a chunk, take a bit more than you normally would, just as a sign, a symbol of that lavish love of God. Take it and eat it as you receive it, okay? Because it's up to you. This is what Linda started with. You have to individually respond and react to this lavish love of God which he's poured out upon you. You can't rely on mum or dad or granny or granddad or husband or wife. You can't rely on what someone may have kind of done for you in the past. This is about you and your response to what God has done for you in Christ. This lavish, lavish love displayed and shown and celebrated now as we gather around this table. So the body of Jesus was broken for you. Do you know what? If you get served twice, because there's a lot going round, don't worry, have another bit. Because we're thinking about the lavishness of God's love.
Planted deep in us, shape and fashion.
Confess, this doesn't really fit with what we are trying to communicate today. So, guys, you're going to have to use your imaginations. A little thimble. Days like today, we need a big cup, don't we? Yeah, yeah, not quite the same. But what does this symbolize? What does this show us? This, again, points to this lavish love of God. Because this reminds us that Jesus shed his blood for us. This was the most amazing, is the most amazing thing, because in that shed blood, in that giving of his life, we can know forgiveness from our sin. Freedom from the power of sin. And looking ahead, sin and death. Yeah? In this little cup. And so as you drink it, we're going to drink together. We're going to drink together once everyone's received, because actually, just as there's an important kind of act of doing this individually, do you know it's also important that we drink together, a reminder that though we're many individuals, Lord, we are one body, yeah? One body. And that's really exciting, isn't it? One body, because we share one cup. Well, sort of. So we're going to serve you this little bit of wine. It's non-alcoholic, so it's really just grape juice, so the kids are all right with it.
Your truth planted deep in us, shape and fashion.
Maybe as we're being served, you might want to start coming down and thinking about what it is you want to know that freedom from today. What stick are you going to pull out? So that we can start seeing that love of God flow through you. Be brave.
Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full of humility. mighty, cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let the truth prevail, overrun belief.
Speak. Doing a great job, guys. Thank you. Anyone still waiting? Have you in the sound desk? Thanks, guys. Can have more than one if you want. If you want to come a second time, a third time, that's absolutely fine. Thank you. So, let's drink together. And as we drink, let us give thanks to God for the shed blood of Christ. For in this there is forgiveness of sin, freedom from all that holds and binds. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Okay, just as the guys come up, we're going to worship together. I want to encourage you to come down and take a stick and watch the balls fall. So let's stand together. Here they come. Isn't it great? As we start taking these things away, that flow of the lavish love of God, we'll start to see. Let's stand and worship together.
You know, when we come and we face our deepest fears, it's just like the Israelites coming, trying to get away from Pharaoh's armies. And they're faced with this massive sea in front of them. So there's the sea, the dark sea in front of them, hordes of Pharaoh's armies behind them, and they're stuck. There's nothing where to go. But as they took the step into that sea, that dark sea, that sea split apart. And that's what happens with our fears, with our shame, barriers of our forgiveness. And that's when the balls start to fall. That's when the love starts to flow.